Yeah? You guys happy to be alive?
Yeah.
It's good. My anniversary, 8 years with my beautiful wife, was this last week. So I got to take my wife and my boys to Alyeska. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So we went down to the pool the first day, and it was awesome. Like, our kids are just floating around the pool doing the little boogie board or, you know, one of those paddleboard things and stuff. And so the next day, the second day we were there on a Tuesday morning, we're going down to the pool again, and our kids are super excited. And they just take off running down the hall. We're like, ah, wait, stop, don't, okay. So we get down there, and one of the elevators closes, and we're like, oh, man. And so one of our boys is, like, gone. So Rebecca takes the other boys down, and I'm running around all over the place trying to find, you know, one of my little ones. And so I walk up in the hallway where our room was. Our room was at the other side of the motel. And I walk into this hallway, and I smell this smell. And I was like, oh, I bet that's one of mine. And so I walk down, and one of my kids is walking, just holding their rear end, like, Daddy, I poopy. I'm like, oh. So anyway, it was like, it was just awesome knowing that that waft through the entire motel was from your child. It was good. Good times, good times. Cool. All right. So we've been doing kind of starting into a series that we're going to be talking about how to deal with sin in our lives. And we're talking, you like that?
Yeah,
talking about how to deal with sin in our lives. We're talking about how to keep ourselves from sin. And eventually we're going to get to breaking the power of sin and talking about inner healing and some things like that. And I want to talk to you guys tonight about being a naked warrior. All kinds of great visions run through your head, I'm sure. Ephesians chapter 6, if you guys want to turn there. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. It's a real famous scripture. It's talking about something that's been called the armor of God. And the Bible lines out a bunch of things for us as Christians to do and to be about. And so we're going to go there in just a second. A lot of our leaders and a bunch of our... Thank you guys for the band members that were here today. They were like filling in and just rocking it. Just praise God for you guys. You're awesome. A bunch of our leaders, Reed and Mariah Anderson, are preaching at Heritage Spiritual Emphasis Camp. And Grace had theirs a couple weeks ago, right? Good stuff. Was it good times? Awesome. Awesome. So we want our Christian schools to start taking over the other schools for Jesus. And so we're stoked that they're out there. So we're going to pray for them. And another thing is the Beyond Music Conference is coming up soon. It is incredible. It's like Johnny Ramirez, who is the worship pastor here at Abbot Loop, is bringing up just world-class musicians, and they're doing a guy named Bo Shim is coming up, and he does hip-hop dance, and he's basically, have you guys ever heard of Raze, the movie? You guys are a bunch of white folk. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, he's like one of the nation's best dance instructor type people, so... Anyway, it's like $100 a person to go to the conference. He called us the other day and said, hey, if any GMers want to go to the music conference, it's $10.
Yeah.
So basically, you guys, like, if you have any ability at all to just even be a worshiper, you need to be there. It's going to be like amazing sometime in the near future. Middle next month. It's like October 13th, something like that. Awesome. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for the gifted grace leaders that are out right now serving in Heritage, God. And we're asking that you just pour out your best on that school, God. God, I'm asking that you would stir a revival in grace. And I'm praying you stir a revival in Heritage. God, and out of these Christian schools would just come just the most amazing leaders for your kingdom, God. God, tonight, be with Reed and Mariah as they preach your word, God. Let it come out without repentance, without giving up, God. Let's just crank, God. God, I pray for our worship team that's out there that they would be just full of your anointing, God, that your oil would just be dripping all over them, God, just getting people gooey in the spirit and all that stuff doesn't really make sense. Amen. Amen. And bless me tonight. That didn't make any sense at all, but that's okay. All right. So I want to talk to you. There's a bunch of things about the armor of God that's kind of misconceptions and stuff like that. So I want to give you guys a little bit of context into what we're going to be talking about tonight. The first context is the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. Now, when Paul wrote a letter, what he would usually do is he would start off the beginning of the letter with theology, with doctrine. He would talk about our common beliefs. He would talk about things that are supernatural, and he would talk about all the things dealing with Christ's deity and just a bunch of stuff like that. And when Paul would get close to the end or the middle of a letter, he would start making things really practical. He would start talking about real life. And I love that because where we live is theology and doctrine, they guide our lives. And what you believe will change your destiny, right? We believe that. Amen? What you believe really talks, it really shows up in how we live. But then there's a practical part of all this stuff, which we need to actually figure out, you know, how to live. Like one place in Paul's writing, he says that the person who steals should steal no longer, but now that person should be a person who gives liberally. Okay? That's just real practical, right? If you're a thief, you need to stop stealing. And you don't need to just stop stealing, but now you need to be a person who's the opposite of a thief, right? That makes sense, right? Right? If you're a murderer like Paul, it's not enough just to stop murdering. God's plan for your life is now that you go on and you bring life where there used to be death, right? So Paul lost his life defending and working against those who bring death, okay? So he kind of came full circle. And so you see that in a lot of his writings. And so when Paul's talking about the armor of God, we get this kind of mystical thing about the armor of God. Like, you know, for a while in my life, I prayed every morning for the armor of God, and it was cool. And I totally encourage you to do it. It's good. It's healthy. It's wonderful. But it's not exactly how it works. Does that make sense? You can't, you know, if you're not righteous, you can't pray for the breastplate of righteousness. It just doesn't work, right? You know, it's like, I'll leave that one alone. Okay. My filter. Okay. And so he puts it right in the middle of the practical part of Ephesians towards the end. And so I want to hit this up a little bit in the context, starting in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it might go well with you and you might live long on the earth." Everybody said, amen. Amen. That's good. "And your fathers, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Okay, that's pretty practical, right? "Bondservants," or you could say it this way for our culture. A bondservant was a slave, but a lot of times a bondservant was a slave by choice. And so you could equate this to kind of an employee, okay, an employee and an employer. "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or whether he's free. And if you masters do the same thing to them, give up your threatening, knowing that your own master who is in heaven and there's no partiality with him." So in other words, God's saying, listen, if you're a master or you're an employer or you're a slave or you're an employee, it doesn't matter. You need to do everything as unto the Lord. Okay? And so he says all this, and then he says, finally, okay, he's wrapping up his thoughts about relationships, right? Relationships are where we live. Amen? If you live at home, you have to go home to your parents, and there's a very, very real relationship or lack of relationship between you and your parents, right? If you're married, there's a relationship there. If you're a student, there's a relationship between you and your professor and you and your fellow students. Make sense? Okay? Our life is surrounded by relationships all the time. And he's giving us some practical advice of relationships, because when we're talking about inner healing, and we're talking about dealing with sin and all those things, sin doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen off to the side. It happens in real life, in real time, with real situations. You really get cut off, and you really tell that person that they're number one with your finger. Right? Yeah. I've never done that since I've been serving God. And I used to have friends that would flip me off because, like, we were friends. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I thought it was so weird. I'm like, yeah, you too. What? What is that? What did just happen? Anyway, I don't know exactly why we did that, but it seemed smart at the time. But the things of life happen. You know, we get abused, and it's not like a TV show where it's just kind of like something you can watch and see in a controlled environment. You can rewind, right? And you can go back and watch it again. You can fast forward. Life doesn't happen that way, does it? All of the things and the issues of life happen now. Happen now. Happen now. And when we're not prepared beforehand, life catches us. And when life catches us not prepared, then we get hurt, right? Or we hurt somebody else. That's just what happens. And so Paul's talking about all this practical stuff. Like, listen, if you're an employer, it doesn't matter if, you know, Mr. Beelzebub is like the dude you're working for. You got to serve him as unto Jesus Christ. And if you're the master, you got to treat all these people who work for you like you would treat Jesus Christ. Okay? He's talking about all this stuff. And then he starts talking about the armor of God. And it's really interesting to me the context that he's talking to it in, because he's talking about this in the middle of relationships. In other words, in the middle of relationships is where you need the armor. And he talks about it in this way. You don't need the armor because of those people, but because of the enemy. So let's read about that. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay, stop. This is where we get the title, Naked Warriors. This is what happens when Christians stop at salvation. They put on the helmet of salvation, and then they're a spiritual streaker. Right? There you go. Naked Warriors. Somebody said that to me like a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was a dream. I don't know, but I was like, hey, I'm going to use that. Right? This is what happens in our relationships as we become spiritual streakers. We become totally unequipped to handle the things of life. So it says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. So if we look at this in context, it's saying to us that the devil is tricky in situations of relationships, right? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, okay? So Mrs. Demon at the school, you know, we're not worried about her. I've had some teachers, man. Praise the Lord. I had one teacher that was a witch. It was her and I did not get along. It was actually pretty fun. But, okay. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, listen, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But then it goes on to say, basically, we do wrestle. There is a war going on. But against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Okay? So in the middle of your life, in the middle of relationships, God's starting to talk to us about the practical application of spiritual warfare in our lives. Amen? Does that make sense? In other words, when you're walking around through your life, you got to be prepared. You can't be spiritually naked. Because if you're spiritually naked, you're going to hurt somebody or they're going to hurt you. Right? I mean, God knows that a lot of people shouldn't be seen naked. It's just the way it is, right? Okay. Leave it alone. In our spiritual lives, this is how we get. We go into our families and we're totally unprepared to deal with those things. We come back from a camp and dad's like, take out the trash. You're such a lazy slob. You never do this and that and the other thing. And we're naked. And so that arrow just goes right into our heart. And the enemy steals, right? Isn't he tricky? The wiles of the devil. And he uses those relationships to get right into you because you're not protected. You're naked. Right? Stricken. That's how he works. And we tend to super spiritualize a lot of warfare and just different stuff like that. Well, the reality is God told us to watch over ourselves and protect ourselves in our everyday life. And so I want to talk about the first thing in this. We're going to do just like a little mini series. And I want to talk to you guys tonight about truth. All right, this is what it says. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having girded your waist with truth. I want to throw this out there for your guys' personal study this week. Maybe you can talk about it in your MyPod. There's two core sins, I think, in the Bible. One is pride and one is lying. Pride and lying, right? The Bible says that Satan fell because of pride, right? And then Jesus says this, John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of it. The only time the death penalty came to a Christian in the New Testament was over a lie. They lied to the Holy Spirit. The devil is the father of lies. And see, lies and pride are two totally different things. Pride is something that the rest of your life you're going to have to fight. It's a character issue. It's a deep-rooted thing. And the cure for pride is humility, right? It's esteeming others better than yourself. It's allowing yourself to be broken before you have to be broke. Jesus said, fall on the rock and break into pieces, or the rock's going to fall on you and crush you into powder. That sounds like a bad day to me, you know? I mean, it's just, you know, that just seems like a bad day, okay? And so we have pride and humility fighting against each other. And over here we have truth and a lie. And we have the two core, or maybe you could even say the two root sins that we see in the Bible. Now, lying is different because lying is not this lifetime, you know, I've been working for 20 years on my lying problem. That's a problem, okay? After 20 years, if you're a liar still, there's some serious problems going on, okay? Because you lie or you don't lie, right? And that's how it works. But it's a little more complicated than that because we live in this real life with real relationships. And so the root of lying is living a lie, right? I mean, think about it. Every time you've been tempted to lie, it's to cover up where you've fallen short, isn't it? My kids do it to me all the time. This morning, Nathan just takes this baseball bat and just wham, hits Jonathan right in the side of the head with it. And Jonathan's going, aah! And Nathan walks into my office holding the bat. And I say, Nathan, did you hit your brother? Nope. Okay. His character fell short. And then he's thinking like, probably shouldn't have done that. But because I did that, now I have to cover it up. Right? And so he got disciplined for that, which is a good thing to do. Praise the Lord. Right. Oh, man. Yeah, I think I still owe him one, too. Anyway, yeah, he's a tough kid to discipline sometimes. All right, but you see what I'm saying? Like, when you're dealing with pride, it's just a constant uprooting thing. But when you're dealing with lying, you're talking about a yes or no decision. And the only time lying really becomes a problem is if you stop working on your character in a certain area. If you stop working on your character, then you have to lie. Because to cover the lie that's inside of you, that is your character, now you have to speak lies. Does that make sense? There's some scriptures that talk about this. This is great. Zechariah 8:16-17. These are the things that you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let no one of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these things I hate, says the Lord. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. You see what's going on here? Truth in the inside manifests itself in truth coming out of your mouth. A lie on the inside either results in a lie on the outside or you being exposed, right? And when it comes time to be exposed, then you got to deal with this other sin of pride, right? Because you got to save face. You got to protect yourself. And so now you become pride and proud instead of humble. And so these two things just play off each other, right? And so when God's talking about how we protect ourselves, the first thing he talks about is truth. And this is where he's talking about. He says, let truth gird yourself around your waist. Now, when Paul's talking about the armor of God, he's talking about his understanding of armor, which is the armor that a Roman soldier would wear. Okay? Now, the belt did two important things, scholars say. The first thing that a belt did is a belt actually held a piece of leather and metal that covered down to about the knees. And the idea of that piece was that was the lower armor. Okay, so the belt held the lower armor. And when Paul's talking about truth, let's make a spiritual application of this. That area of a body is the area of potency. Okay? Does that make sense to you guys? If you're not tracking, it's totally okay. All right? Praise the Lord. That is the area of potency in your body. And so when Paul's talking about your spiritual life, here's the application. If you are not a truthful person, you will lose the potency of your Christian life. If you don't have the testimony of somebody who keeps their word, if you don't have the testimony of somebody who is truthful and will hurt themselves before they see their word broken, you lose the potency of your Christian life. How can you walk up to somebody and say, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever lusted? Have you, how can you share the gospel when that person turns around and says, well, haven't you done that? Yeah, I can say, yeah, I've done that. Okay, but it doesn't have the condemnation on my life. I've done that. I've been delivered from it. That's the point. Okay? But when you're not living a life of truth, when you're living a lie, you undermine the potency of your testimony. Because that person says, well, okay, let me tell a story. Let me think here if I can do this. Okay. My wife's mother and father, my wife's dad is an incredible man of God. I love him. He was a Christian and he was going to college. And my wife's mother was not a Christian. And over the course of time when they were dating, they started sleeping together. And one of his friends that knew that he was a Christian came up to him and said, you guys are sleeping together and you said you're a Christian, right? Busted. Just rocked his life. They ended up actually getting pregnant and getting married. And, you know, the rest is an awesome story because fornication is sin, but not having a baby is not. Amen? Yeah, amen. Right? That's actually really important for us to understand. Having a baby is not sin. Okay, just log that one away. It will undermine your testimony. Now, the other thing that truth did, or another thing that the belt did for a Roman soldier, is the belt actually held up the upper armor. So what happened is instead of all of their fighting armor sitting on their shoulders and weighing them down to where they couldn't lift their arms, that would actually sit on their belt. Kind of like if you ever had put on a nice hiking backpack, you know, your shoulders kind of just stabilize it, but all the weight goes right here, doesn't it? It all goes on your hips. And that was the idea, is that truth holds up the rest of your armor. Truth is such a foundational piece of your Christian life that if you don't have it, nothing else works right. If you don't have truth, if you don't have truthfulness as a part of your core being, your potency is lost and the rest of your armor becomes cumbersome. It is hard to be a righteous person and not be a truthful person, right? Because you have conflicting things going on all the time. It's hard to swing a sword when your righteousness is just law and legalism to you. All it does is weigh you down. It's rules and rules and rules. Well, all of that comes from a lack of truth at your core. Does that make sense? And so we put this in context. You can pray for this, but I recommend that you just start doing it. Okay? You should pray for it. But if you want the armor of God, you have to start looking at your life. Am I a truthful person? Now, it's not, when we think about being truthful, it's, you know, do I tell truth or lie? That's not it. Are you a deceptive person? Man, I've seen some people, they'll sit up in church and they'll smile and they'll grin, you know, and they'll be whatever it's supposed to be in church, you know, and it's amazing because sometimes those people, you can just see right through them. You're like, oh, praise the Lord. I'm just glad you're here. And yeah, amen, all that stuff. And you know, I hope you have a good time throwing up next Friday after you're done, you know, partying. It's just like, seriously, you know, do you really think you're fooling somebody? You guys know what I'm talking about? It's deception. It's manipulation. Some ladies, I won't say some of you ladies because a lot of you are just incredible. But ladies can be incredibly manipulative, right? The Bible talks about the battering of an eye and you know, the luring of a harlot, right? And how a woman uses deception to just draw a guy into her inner place, right? Okay? That is a form of lying, okay? Flattery, that's a form of lying. You know, if you're a salesperson, hey, look at you, you're awesome. I bet you need this car because it goes with your beautiful hair. Hey, you know? You know, a person who flatters you, they don't care about you. You know, I heard somebody say, you know, why does the car salesman say all this stuff and my best friend doesn't say that about me? Well, because your best friend actually loves you. If you got a zit up on your nose, your best friend's going to tell him you got booger hanging out your nose. You know, the car salesman would be like, hey, you got a beautiful face and everything on it. All right. Your friend's going to be like, you got to wipe something off your nose because that's nasty. Right? It's truth in our inward parts. Does that make sense to you guys tonight? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm having fun. You guys having fun?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, relationships are the hardest place to be truthful. I've shared some of you young guys that are married or getting married. One time my wife looked at me when we were newly married and she said, honey, I need you. Do you need me? I was like, yeah, about that. I had this crisis inside of me because I was like, honey, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know what I would do without you. You're amazing. You're the only woman I ever want to be with the rest of my life. But that word need, that caught me up because of where my character was. It caught me up because when I was honest with myself, I didn't need her. I desired her and I wanted her, not just, you know, intimately, but I wanted her to be a part of my life. That word need, it just caught me up and it hurt her. But I didn't lie to her. And a year later, I could look her in the eye and say, honey, I need you. And now she goes away for a day or two, and I'm just a miserable wreck. How many of you guys were around me when my wife went away for a couple weeks last year? Like, Paul, they're like, hey, you know, you're still happy, but there's just something wrong about you. I'm like, there is something wrong. My wife is gone. My character caught up with me, but man, to tell my wife to look her square in the eye and tell her I needed her, that was just a lie. And the reason I felt that need to lie was because my character was not in a good place in that area of my life. And so what I chose to do instead was humble myself and expose myself. And it all turned out okay. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. That's where I want to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to end on this scripture, I think. This is the Apostle Paul again talking about spiritual warfare. Now I, Paul, myself, verse 1, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent I am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as though we walked according to the flesh. Verse 3. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Excuse me. These weapons, these practical weapons, they will bring freedom in your relationships. If you don't walk around like a naked warrior, if you actually have the defensive things that you need in your life to succeed in relationships, what happens is somebody in your life fires off an arrow and it bounces off your breastplate. Somebody fires off a lie and you don't bite because you're girded up with truth. You speak truth. You speak with authority because you're girded up with truth. You don't have to be scared of somebody finding out your dark secret. That will encourage your relationships. Man, you want to have a great relationship with your parents? I don't care if you're in the workforce, in college, in high school, in junior high. You need a good relationship with your parents. And if you're not naked, you're going to do well. If everything that your overbearing father says to you doesn't go right in, you're going to do okay. Because not everything is going to destroy your soul. And you're going to be able to love and you're going to be able to walk in that relationship, right? You're going to be able to serve your overbearing boss as unto the Lord. Because you're not dealing with flesh and blood in your relationships. When you're walking around your relationships, you're living at a different level, man. You're living in a different playing field. Because the weapons of your warfare are powerful for destroying strongholds in relationships. For destroying strongholds in your life. And the end of that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. God will take you full circle. Now you're going to be equipping other people. You're going to be strengthening other people in your life and in your relationships. That's what it means to have your center part girded with truth. Pray for it, ask the Lord for it, but more importantly, search your heart. If you live a lie, if you deceive, those kind of things, it's because you're covering up some deeper issues. And those deeper issues, they got to be dealt with. Amen? Is that good? Cool. You guys want to worship for a little bit? I think we got one song in our worship team still. They did a great job, and they had like, 10, 20 minutes to practice tonight. It was just, they were a blessing. Cool. You guys want to stand up with me? How you guys doing? You guys doing good? That was really loud. Don't clap next to your microphone. Okay, praise the Lord. Truth. John 4:24, as we get ready to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Man, I tell you what. When Pontius Pilate came to Jesus, he said, what is truth? And Jesus said that he was truth. Truth is a big deal. If you want to even be able to approach the throne of God, truth is a critical part of it. Amen? Let's pray about this. God, I thank you tonight that you are arming us. God, I don't want to be naked in the spirit. God, I don't want us to be a ministry of people that have the helmet of salvation on and nothing else. God, you are calling us on to perfection. You are calling us to be people that are equipped to heal relationships, not to destroy them. God, we are called into relationships that are so painful and so hurtful. God, and you're just going to equip us. God, we're going to touch untouchable people. And we're going to minister to those people that don't look the way we look. God, there's going to be people with swords drawn. There's going to be people with bows drawn. God, and you are going to arm us. Do you guys know that a Roman soldier's armor only covered the front of their body? There was no armor on the backside. That means that every issue of life, every relationship in life, you have to face it. There's no options. There's no protection for your back. God wants us to be armed and to go into this battle of life. God, we love you tonight. Fill us with truth, God. Not just we know the truth, the right things to say, God, but make us people of character, of truth, God. We love you tonight, God. Have your way. Amen.